Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the TV show is a Nobel Peace Prize nominee, then we're Donald Trump. I love that story because I think Pakistan, they sort of showed that in the midst of terrible times for the world, you've got to have a bit of a laugh, haven't you?
Well, by nominating Donald Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Although there is part of me that thinks maybe he could actually really want peace.
Why is this not surprising? Okay. Jack.
What, like a piece of pie?
Number one Trump apologist, Jack Harris.
Who would you nominate for a peace prize, by the way?
Ooh.
Who's a national figure that could bring peace?
Stacey Solomon?
David Attenborough.
David Attenborough.
Oh, we went to different ends of the scale there.
I think I should be nominated.
Well, okay.
I agree with that.
You're not a peaceful person.
No, so, but neither is Trump.
Yeah.
Everyone does behave themselves when Queenie's around, though, I would say.
Thank you.
So no, that is the peaceful
Don't buy
effect.
Into it. Don't fake news.
I'm grinning.
Based on the time you saw me and Mike suddenly sit upright on the Zoom as soon as Queenie enters.
Just muscle memory fear of being stabbed.
Yeah, what you can't all see when you're listening to the podcast is they're all at attention saluting me.
I am giving a form of salute to Queenie. But it's normally a two-finger salute, I believe, is the term.
Not an Elon Musk salute.
I don't give Queenie a Nazi salute because that would be a different form of discipline that you would be asking for.
Well, if you're not, you should probably take your hand down, Jack.
Yeah.
Why are you still doing it?
I don't know how to actually... It feels like if I argue against this.
It's like he's done it before. It's really good.
I know. The moustache finger's just unnecessary as well.
I don't know how I actually fight this. Okay. This is quite hard to... Okay, moving on. Let's get into round one. And the big story this week is Trump's decision to bomb Iran and the ensuing fallout. So, I mean, Trump and his team called for peace after very peacefully dropping 14 massive ordnance penetrator bombs, or MOPs, on Iranian nuclear sites. And they most likely needed a mop in Downing Street when Keir Starmer saw the news. So, Mike, it does seem like Trump keeps catching people by surprise. How is he doing it? I don't know how he's managing to catch people off guard.
I know. Well, I've come to the conclusion that the people Donald Trump surprises includes Donald Trump. Because I think he just goes out and says stuff. And in his head, he's going, huh, I didn't know I was going to say that. Like, I genuinely think his mind is basically like a Scrabble bag. And he's putting it together as he talks. Whether it's sharks, it's tornadoes, it's the weather.
Serial killers.
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter. It's literally whatever anyone has said to him. Like, it must be so much fun to say something to him just before he goes out and goes... Squirrels give you AIDS, and that's it. He's gone. He's away.
That's the press release.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why he's so good at denying stuff? Because he'll see himself on TV and be like, "Did I say that?" Like, because he honestly cannot even fathom what's.
No, first he'll be like, "Who's that handsome man on the TV?" And then he'll say, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that."
But you look at it, last week, he's gone from fully backing Israel to saying there should be peace to bombing Iran to now having a go at Israel. So I presume next week we'll be talking about how he bombed Israel.
He also surprised that reporter when they said, oh, what's your take on it? And he basically said that Israel and Iran don't know what the fuck they're doing, which is pretty impressive. But also, the fact that he said he was not happy with Iran, but he's really unhappy with Israel, there's part of me that thinks, does he actually want peace? Because normally it doesn't happen with American presidents. They sort of dance around the subject of criticising Israel. Mm. And he's like, no, I'm genuinely not happy with them.
It's almost like he's so confused about his position that he's actually doing the right thing.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's so confused that he's gone with it. But maybe he genuinely is like, no, the only way I can get peace is if I criticise both sides. And drop some bombs, obviously.
I feel like the next time someone tells me women are too emotional to be leaders, I'm going to punch them in the face. And then when they act shocked, I'm going to call it a preemptive strike.
At least they're really good at naming bombs, though, because like Bunker Buster is sort of like quite a fun name.
I thought that was a Jilly Cooper novel.
Yeah, that's it. They're adapting it for Netflix, aren't they?
He is basically doing what every American president has done, which is get involved in the Middle East.
Making it great again.
Yeah, when they said full Bush was in this summer, I didn't think they meant the US was going to bomb a Middle Eastern country under the false pretenses they had weapons of mass destruction.
No. So I don't know how to respond to full Bush.
Do you think if we talk about bringing back the Bush enough, we'll get another shaver advert that we can do?
What, one for you two?
I'm hoping and I'm praying.
Yeah.
The Maker On Great Again thing is funny as well, because you sort of think, like, Mega. Again, the whole time they're like, look, we don't want regime change. We're just hitting the nuclear sites and that's it. And then he's like, what about regime change, though?
It's weird, though, isn't it? Because it's a bit much to expect Trump to have actually read a history book. But, like, Make Iran Great Again follows on from basically what they've done in the past. Make Iraq great again, make Syria great again, make Afghanistan.
Like, the original MAGA.
Yeah, Britain and America keep doing this. Like, they literally organised regime change in 1953. Iran was a great democratically elected country. They had a democratically elected leader. Britain and America got rid of them so they could put in a pro-Western government, which were horrendous and tortured people and were corrupt. And that's how we've ended up with what we are. So him saying, we'll make Iran great again. It's like, maybe sit this one out.
We talk about people being surprised, but if people would listen to the episode last week, they wouldn't have been that surprised by the bombs. And Mike, you put people onto this. What came into play again this week?
It's the pizzas.
Pizzas.
Yeah.
Pizza tracker.
The pizza tracker, it tracks spikes in pizza ordering from pizza shops around the Pentagon when something's happening. So people know that something's going on, or like people at the Pentagon are working late into the night because there's more orders from pizza shops. It was a Papa John's spike this time.
Which is terrible. Terrible pizza.
I know. Although, ironically, the Papa John's deep pan is the one substance on earth that American bombs can't penetrate.
Does the pizza joint change depending on what sort of vibe they're going with? Mm. So is it a different...
Did you say pizza joint? Have you just been flown in from Arkansas?
I think I've become a transatlantic DJ.
Sorry, Emma, but you were saying, does the pizza, let's call it a pizza palace.
You can't even think of the word for it. You're trying not to say joint.
I couldn't think of it. It's just going, joint.
It's not a shop though, is it? What is the word?
It's a pizza shop.
Pizza shop.
That is it. That's what it is.
Pizza shop, is it?
No, it is. That's what you call it. It's English. It's a shop.
You don't go shopping for pizza. It's a
maybe
pizza
you don't,
restaurant.
Mate, but,
it's a restaurant. Fast food outlet.
I know what
pizza
I'm about.
Outlet.
Pizza outlet. No.
Did you see, again, with the Make Iran Great Again, I don't know if you saw, there was a map of Americans trying to guess where Iran was on a map of the world. Quite a few Australians. There's only like three in the UK.
The fact that there's any in the UK, sorry.
One of them was in, I think it was like sort of like Cornwall area, but then one was like right on the tip of Norfolk, which I just love. The idea that Cromer is where they think this kind of supreme leader, this country they should be against, you know, all these Norfolk old biddies walking around, you know. It'd be quite a fun challenge to give Trump that and say, where do you think Iran is? He'd be going Norfolk, 100%.
But then he'd double down on it and they'd have to bomb Norfolk.
Yeah, no, it is Iran.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, it is Iran. The Prime Minister, obviously, Keir Starmer, he's long tried to position himself as Europe's chief Trump whisperer. How is that going for him, Emerald, in terms of like what's happened this week?
It's not going well for him, and it's not going well for the rest of the G7 or NATO, which is convening this week in The Hague.
It's really fitting that they're all in The Hague.
Yeah.
Pop down to the war crimes court.
Get a feel for it before they're there a bit later on.
Well, they have to take the stand.
So yeah, last week Starmer did his special Trump mind reading, and he told journalists that there is nothing the president said that suggests he's about to get involved in this conflict. And then a couple of days later, Trump's involved with it. The UK was apparently only notified just a bit before that happened. Ooh. And I would basically compare this world leader situation to, you know, when, like, if you go out with friends and you're out for a nice dinner, but then there's like one really loud friend that's trying to get you to go out clubbing afterwards. And no one really wants to, but you can't say no because it will make you look uncool, or you won't look like you're like a good friend to this person. So then you all end up going out clubbing. And it's a terrible time for everyone, and everyone hates it.
I don't know who that person is.
That means it's you, Jack.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm the cool guy. That's it. That NATO summit, they were saying it's going to cost 1 million euros per minute in terms of security. And you think, like, can't I just do it on Zoom?
It's funny how they've dumbed it down for Trump, though. I was reading about that. So the last time out, the NATO meeting was 7.5 hours. And they released like a 5-page document of thick, dense text. Mm. And now to keep Trump on board, they've got one thing on the agenda, which is European countries paying more money to defence, which is the whole thing Trump wants. The whole thing's going to be 2 hours and they're going to release one paragraph, which basically goes, America's great. We love Trump. Thanks so much for coming. We're going to put more money into defence. Now, please don't let Russia bomb us.
Yeah. Yeah, thick dense text for a thick dense man.
Did you see as well, yeah, like the Starmer said, yeah, we're gonna bring up to 5%. So like some of that, like I think 1.5% of it can be like infrastructure and cyber security, but he's like, yeah, by 2027 4.1% of our GDP is going to be on defense. And you can imagine Rachel Reeves is like, she's having kittens because she's thinking, all right, okay, great, another thing. But like, I think if we're talking about Starmer as well, and sort of Starmer having to sort of slightly pretend he knows what's going on the international side, but I don't think he really wants to be at home either, because it's not exactly unicorns and rainbows for him.
He's sort of shitting his pants this week.
I think he's having a bit of a tough week because Labour MPs, they've really kicked off about this welfare cut, and it looks like he's getting a massive rebellion, probably the biggest one he's had since he became PM. Queenie, how do you think Sir Keir deals with a rebellion?
Probably like lies down and lets it wash over him, like stampede. I don't know about this and him surviving this, but it is a huge rebellion. I think at the time of recording, more than 119 of his own MPs signed an amendment that could effectively kill the proposed legislation that he's been banging on about for fucking ages, about cutting PIP, basically, for disabled people. And it's sort of an eggy thing because it's about defining what disability means and who's eligible for certain amounts of spending. But loads of Labour MPs initially indicated that they'd back the proposals in principle, but the support kind of ebbed away over recent months because of the warnings of how much the cuts would impact the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Also, these aren't the so-called like proper rebels, which are like, you know, the Corbyns, the independents who have gone specifically outside of Labour, who have been against it the whole time. These are just like the normies who are like, oh no, this is a big swathe of people changing their minds.
It is a week of surprise, right? Because they really didn't expect it. And apparently some people have held back to then put their names on to give it more momentum, which all that sort of tactics. And what they're saying is that basically loads of the other Labour MPs who didn't have their names on it were like, oh, I don't want to miss out. And literally because of FOMO, they added their names to it, which is like going to add to it. Which you think, we think about politicians being kind of like a level above, but they actually are school kids, aren't they? And then they're like, oh yeah, I'll stick my name on it. Everyone else is doing it. I mean, talking of sort of fractious political parties or politicians acting like teenagers, it's been a big week for Reform, hasn't it?
I don't know. I don't follow their news.
Oh, man. Big week for Nigel Farage because he had to actually come up with a policy, which is a bit of a fucking shock for him.
First time for everything.
How did he do with it? What do we think? This is his Robin Hood tax.
They're calling it a Robin Hood tax because I think, much like Robin Hood, it's completely fictitious. It has no bearing on real life and it's about as convincing as Christian Slater's English accent. So to sum up, the idea is millionaires will pay a one-off fee of £250,000. And that gives them a decade of non-dom tax loops through something called a Britannia card, which sounds like the sort of thing you keep in your glove box in case your car breaks down.
It all sounds like the sort of thing at Harvester, you'd get a free piece of meat, I think.
You get a free piece of meat of the meat that you look the most like.
Oh, I'd love that.
What do you think you'd have?
I think I'd always have to be ham. I'd always have to be ham. Honey glazed ham. For this bad boy.
I think you could be a Frankfurter.
Oh, thanks.
Wow. Jack's ginger, everyone.
Is a Frankfurter a piece of meat? I'd say it's several pieces of meat squashed together. I don't know if you can really call
it meat.
He's
getting technical because he's getting defensive. Yeah.
That's how I think of you.
Thanks, man.
Lots of meat squashed together.
Bits of horse poop and penis shoved into a small cylindrical
Loads of bollocks.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
They're going to have this Britannia card and then the £250,000 that millionaires have paid will then be all added up and divided amongst the lowest paid workers in the country. And economists have said that works out. So everyone would get like this sort of windfall at the end of the year of £600 a year per person, which I think, to use a proper economic term, is a total con.
Yeah, I was going to say, which economists, and have they finished their GCSEs?
No, but I think the economists are right.
That's all it would be.
Right.
Reform are saying, oh, that's the worst case scenario. We're hoping it'll be up to like £1,000 or £2,000 per person, which again, given, you know, they want to completely privatise the NHS, so yeah, you can absolutely say goodbye to that £600.
£600 would pay for like one of Nigel Farage's blazers. I did some Googling about his fashion style, really? And one of his blazers cost £600.
Are they?
I thought you were going to say it would pay for like one of his artificial hips that he needs to get, if we're talking about NHS in terms of costs and stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah. They cost £600?
No, I mean, that would be a black market artificial hip, right? 100%. £600. It costs more than that.
I meant the blazers. Oh, the blazers. No, sorry, I didn't get past the blazer.
The blue and white striped linen blazer that he wears to some parties is like 560,
70. No. Mm-mm. I genuinely thought it was like £40 from M&S, like Blue Harbour range.
Yeah.
Did you see loads of people criticise him? And he said, hey, look, I'm not clever enough to respond to any criticisms or policies, which I thought that is the clearest sign that he is ready to become Prime Minister.
It's a very Boris Johnson manoeuvre.
100%, yeah. Right. Basically doing the Liz Truss, the, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. Get into Downing Street.
I think he's in a place where Labour and Starmer are stinking out Britain so badly. I mean, you look at the polls, they're tanking and tanking and tanking. None of the stuff they've done on Israel, like even now, I'd say internationally, Keir had that going for him. But even now people are like, well, you didn't have a clue what was going on. And you can't even come out and say that the attack on Iran was illegal, which it was. So Nigel Farage can say all this stuff. He can say what he wants. Say, I'll give everyone free internet. You know, everyone's going to get a free Battenberg in the post. And like, people will like...
You won me over. Who do I vote for him?
I actually would. Although Battenberg...
Although, Battenberg, yeah.
It hasn't got the structural integrity to get through the letterbox.
What are you sending it, in a jiffy or like a...
It'd have to be boxed. If you send it in a jiffy, you basically get crumbs.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not, all I say is, Jack, I'm not clever enough to actually tell you how this works.
And that's why you're going to become Prime Minister.
All I'm saying is, Battenberg's in the post. Don't question it. It's happening. That's it. It's just a Battenberg bonus.
The three-word slogan, cake in post, just everywhere on buses. That's all you need. Sorry.
Oh, Jack.
Unbelievable.
Why are you eating every
Jack?
Time?
Just a mouthful of crunchy snacks.
You've waited right till the end of the adverts and gone, do you know what? No, now's the time to have the crisps.
Sorry.
If it was Battenberg, you'd be fine because there'd be no crunch.
Sorry. Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's round two now, where you've each bought a news item from the past week that you think would be perfect for round two of the show. So, Mike, you're up first. What have you got for us this week?
So, as we all know, I think from keeping an eye on the news, in terms of space at the moment, you've got a lot of countries working towards different goals. So the Chinese have started landing on the moon. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about putting a base on the moon. Elon Musk is focused on how to take Americans to Mars, and NASA is trying to work that out. So what do you think the British Space Agency is focused on at the moment? Any ideas?
Probably whether Starmer's a Pisces or an Aquarius.
I thought you were going to say probably weather-related stuff, because yeah. I feel like that's our only focus, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Where in space could you go and complain about the weather the most?
Oh, that's good. Do you know what? You're not right, but I would say, like, spiritually, you're in the right ballpark of Britishness. Because it's been revealed this week that British researchers have begun experiments to see whether tea leaves can be grown in Martian or lunar soil. So it's not, can we get Excellent. To Mars? It's like, can we have a brew when we get there?
Yeah. Mm, wow. Stick the kettle on.
Because we spent all the time working this out, we haven't worked out how to plug in a kettle on the International Space Station. So, yeah. So you have to boil a pan of water.
Are they doing like animal trials like they did with the lunar landings?
What, with the
dogs?
PG Tips monkey?
Yeah. That's who's leading it. Yeah, it's been revealed this week they've started this experiment. They've had to recreate the harsh conditions of space by using lifeless soil in a sterile, barren environment.
Okay, so they could have just gone to Swindon.
Swanage.
So I love we all had a go to. Mine was Luton.
Of course it was.
The interesting about the story is it also reveals that several countries around the world are doing similar experiments.
Right.
So, but with things they culturally identify with. Do you know what the Japanese are doing? Any idea?
Sushi.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a lot of elements.
Rice?
It's cherry blossom trees.
Oh,
that's useless.
That's really useless.
At least the moon will look nice as people starve to death.
Hungry? Talking about starving to death. What's hungry doing?
I thought you asked if we were hungry.
Well, we know Jack's not.
Jackson's stuffing his face.
Borscht? Is it borscht? Is it?
How can you grow borscht?
Does borscht grow in Spain?
But have you never seen a borscht tree?
Jack Harris, science teacher.
No, but the ingredients for borscht, obs.
What's the key ingredient of borscht? Do we know?
Beetroot.
Turnips.
Paprika. Is it?
Oh, really?
No, that's the other one. What's the stew they have?
The Hungarian stew. We all know.
Goulash.
Oh, right.
Oh. Goulash.
Are we all getting slightly dumber as round two goes on?
Yeah.
And finally, Germany.
Sausage trees.
Nazis.
Hops. Beer hops.
Hops. Thank you, Emerald, for taking this mini quiz seriously.
I was taking it seriously. It's their number one export.
No, it sort of makes no sense. They were putting worms in soil to see if they could improve the nutrients in the soil. Practical Germans.
Okay. Boring.
Do we know what the results of the study are into tea in space?
I feel like it's probably not going well.
We don't know. They've only just planted it, so we won't know till September. So the pod will still be announced. It'll be a nice, exciting end of series finale.
Just letting it brew for a bit.
Well, one of the things about why they're testing it, not only to see if it can grow, but they're worried there's a lot of toxic elements in Martian soil. So they want to see if that's absorbed into the tea. So,
what a way to finish your experiment.
I know.
Poison tea.
We killed the BG Tips monkey.
Aww.
That monkey's dead. Imagine that was the ending of the PG Tips monkey. It's sipping on a mug of poisoned space tea.
Keep it light.
Great. Thanks, Mike. That's a really good story. Yeah. Queenie, what about you? What have you got this week?
Hikers walking the 3,800-kilometer Appalachian Trail in one trip stop off at a general store and eat half a gallon of ice cream in one sitting.
Is this all hikers or just...
No, it's specific hikers.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's like a sort of recreational fun time thing.
So it's like a triathlon, but they've taken out one of the fitness elements and put in ice cream eating.
Bingo.
To be honest, that'd be the Mike Raymond way of exercising.
One recent hiker to take on the challenge called it pure misery, adding, "I don't think anyone should be doing this." The fastest to finish the half-gallon challenge was a hiker named Squirt, who ate it in 3 minutes and 37 seconds.
Of course he did. We all know what Squirt looks like.
Yeah.
I feel like they're guaranteeing like a Paula Radcliffe moment on that hiking trail. What with that, all that ice cream.
At what point do you eat the ice cream? Because I'm assuming if you wouldn't put it at the start, because then you'd have maybe 90% of the participants would drop out after the first part. So it feels like you've got to do a little bit of the walk at least. Probably at the top of a mountain.
They stop off halfway and eat it from the general store.
Oh, so they're not carrying the ice cream with them. They're getting it from the store. Ah, okay.
Cool. How much ice cream are we talking?
Half a gallon.
1.8 litres of ice cream mid-hike.
Can I just see how much a Solero is from my freezer?
This is a lovely experiment.
I would say Solero is a sorbet, not an ice cream, so...
You sound like Keir Starmer, Emerald.
Okay, one Solero is like 500 millilitres. So that's like you're eating four Soleros.
That's quite
a lot. Absolutely smash that.
That's not that much.
You're not going to want to walk afterwards.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'm not.
One of my favourite details about this story, which I think we'd pick up on the show, is that all of the hikers have trail names. So they don't go by their actual names. They go by nicknames. I mean, a few highlights are Chicken Louise, Seagull.
Chicken Louise, okay.
Not Lazy.
I think those nicknames are just people who are supposed to be on diets and they don't want their partners to find out.
Yeah, they're like, honey, I'm going on a hike.
Yeah.
See you later. It's not the one where you eat a gallon of ice cream.
I've definitely packed that salad you made me.
I do have a little game for you. So can you guess, are these ice cream hikers or operations carried out by the CIA in Iraq?
Okay.
So I'm calling it lemon and lime or war crime.
Nice.
So the first one is petroglyph.
CIA.
Yeah, it sounds pretty war-y.
Yeah. I'm going CIA.
That is the name of a guy called Zeke Medic, who is a prolific ice cream hiker.
Prolific.
He is infamous for his ice cream hiking.
Oh,
okay. Next.
And he also committed atrocities in Iraq. Just coincidentally. Yeah. He's got all the ice cream to make him forget.
Okay. Speedy.
Oh, I think you're trying to throw us off.
I think you're double bluffing us here. I think Speedy is the name of our operation.
I was going to go ice cream hiker.
Mike, you're correct.
You double bluffed us. Emerald, we were trying to be too clever.
Yeah. Speedy is the name of Stefan Behrens. He's 49, a psychiatric nurse from Nuremberg, which is also quite fitting. I haven't contrived these names, but anyway.
He's gone all the way from Nuremberg to take part in the ice cream hike.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the last one is Soda Mountain.
Oh, God. Now I don't know what to think. I feel like this is a CIA psyop that we're going through right now with Queenie.
I think it's got to be CIA, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going CIA.
I say CIA.
Yeah, this is a counterinsurgency mission in 2003 to increase reconnaissance in parts of Iraq.
To increase the number of vending machines.
How many ice cream trucks have they got?
Enjoyed that. I was just thinking about ice cream now.
Yeah. I've got Solera, real neat Solera, but I'm not going to do it. Thanks, Queenie. Emerald.
Thanks.
What is your story this week?
So I feel like we've talked about some quite British areas. Mike's done tea. Queenie, you've done ice cream.
Mm.
My topic this week is the weather, which also fits in with our British theme.
Yeah.
So this is the story that for the upcoming season, the Met Office has invited the public to submit their suggestions for storm names.
Oh, awesome. I always wanted to do this. Right? I didn't know how they came up with them.
Well, this is the first time they're opening it up to the public, and they know that this is a public that voted for the name Boaty McBoatface for a ship. So,
oh my god,
a slight error here. Yeah,
have they done Stormy McStormface?
You could suggest it. The Met Office suggests that you name the storm after a loved one.
Oh, why would you
a
want that?
A loved one that you want to piss off.
It's going to be your nemesis, isn't it? Basically.
Exactly.
I hope someone suggested Kevin MacLeod. That'd be a good one.
That's really good.
Funny you mention it, Mike, because they give the storms names every year and they name them from A to Z, I think. Mm. Even if storms don't happen past, let's say, the letter K, they've still got those names there. And Storm Kevin was one that never made it.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Like most Kevins.
They don't give them surnames though, do they? So I think you can get away with it. And like, if you've got a friend called Barbara and they have Storm Barbara, just text your friend and said, I'll name this after you.
Right.
And they'll be like, please never speak to me ever again.
You can test.
How did you get this number?
Yeah. Hey, I thought we were going to have a great third date. Come on. I named a storm after you. Was it too soon? Should I wait for the fifth date?
Would work on me, to be honest.
But I thought, based on this news, I would create a very easy game for you to play. Nice. It's called Name That Typhoon. It's a terrible title, I apologize, but basically I'm going to describe some hypothetical storms to you. They might sound like a few figures that we already know, but I would like you to decide what name you'd give it based on that description.
Nice.
Okay. Storm number one. This storm is incredibly and perhaps deliberately hard to forecast. It's currently getting into squalls all over the world and it causes outbursts of orange rain. What would you name that storm?
Oh, you're really leading us down the garden path here, aren't you?
I told you it was
storm
easy.
Storm Tango.
Storm Millay.
Storm Golden Shower.
I would probably suggest the name Storm Donald for that one. Mm. That's what I was angling for there.
Yeah, that would be the sensible thing, yeah.
Okay, second storm. So this storm has almost no effect on the atmosphere, causing a light drizzle across the UK and a whiny wind. It's currently desperately trying to generate high pressure across the US, but it has been causing some damage in the UK, taking over from where Storm Rachel left off a couple of weeks ago.
Oh. Is it Storm Chelsea? Because they're doing rubbish in America at the moment. Just a little dig at Jack as a Chelsea fan.
I thought before you said taking over from Rachel, I thought it was just going to be Storm Labour Cabinet member.
Storm Faceless Labour Cabinet member.
Yeah.
They're sort of like, you know when you create a new Instagram account and then it's got like, it's like user and then it's got a bunch of numbers after it and a no profile picture. That's the whole Labour Cabinet.
The sort of grey profile picture.
You take that back about Storm Jonathan Reynolds. He is a force of nature.
He's never caused a storm in his life.
He's a wet front.
I'm sorry, guys. The storm I was looking for was Storm Keir there. So nice tries.
No, that's also very good.
Final one. This storm caused heavy damage to banks in London before its force fell very rapidly after 49 days. It caused very little damage to crops, but it's now travelled across to the US, becoming completely cyclonic.
Is it Storm Greatest Prime Minister we've ever had?
It's the love of my life. Storm Liz.
Storm Liz. Well done, Queenie. Right.
Storm Temporary.
Storm Temporary.
Only lasted 42 minutes.
It's quite long in storm lifetime. Be happy with that.
We found the one contingent in which Liz trusted well. As a storm.
Finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week, and you just need to fill in the missing words. So, first up, Chinese hotel told what must stop?
Peking Toms.
That was really good.
Nice. I'll give it to you. Chinese hotel told Red Panda wake-up service must stop. So this is a hotel in China that basically people get woken up by red pandas that come and climb onto their beds.
And someone called the fun police.
Well, you put like a thing on your door and you say, red panda, wake up, please.
Yeah. It's like a service. And then suddenly these red pandas come in, which, right, by all intents and purposes, looks very cute. They're incredibly cute. But they are a nationally protected wild species.
Oh, my God. Oh, I thought you were going to say, you know, like koalas have HIV. I thought you were going to say that they're like giving people diseases.
They don't have HIV. They have chlamydia.
That one.
That again, you're coming up with a Trumpism, just coming out straight up. That's it.
Yeah, breaking news.
That's the thing you'd say to him before he goes out.
Koalas have HIV.
But yeah, the hotel, as like a rebuttal, were like, actually, these pandas are borrowed from a zoo and they've been vaccinated, and young children are always accompanied by an adult. And you're like, that's not what people say.
None of those things like, mitigate the situation. No. Red Panda Wake Up Service sounds like a sleeper cell. Do you know what I mean? It sounds like...
Red Panda Wake Up Service, active. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Launch attack on Washington.
Next up, young people will spend 25 years what?
Waiting to drink space tea.
Thinking that communism is a good idea before reality is knocked into them.
The answer is young people will spend 25 years on their phone. There's a study that showed the average is like 5.5 hours on the phone each day, which is your screen time thing. Wow. And when you total up,
I think that's a scam.
It's 25 years. What, the screen time?
Yeah, I think that it counts when it's active, but you're not looking at it. I think that...
That's someone who's got a very high screen time.
I'm really backpedaling.
Someone who's so bad at replying to text messages, that's a damning indictment of all our friendships.
But I don't think I've ever replied to a text message within the same sort of month that it was sent to me.
We posted the missing word round on our social media channels, and congratulations to Matt Lloyd Poet on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, study finds young people will spend 25 years regretting the last 25 years. Follow Have I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing word round when we post another one next Tuesday. And finally, late Queen carried what X-Aid reveals?
A watch that was behind.
Nice.
Late.
A cavalcade of exceedingly disappointing prime ministers.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Massive vibrator.
Would you say that the large vibrator, Mike, that you talked about would be considered a weapon of mass destruction because the entire British public's brain would just be imploded by the idea that the Queen is doing anything sexy in any way?
I mean, she has four kids.
Yeah, and she's had sex four times in my brain.
She shouldn't have had sex any time in your brain.
Yeah. Listen, four times is quite a lot.
Do you think about it a lot?
Oh, I really, really, really stitch myself up there. Anyway, the late Queen carried cash for bets at the races, X-Aid reveals.
No way.
Because she's a real English woman.
I think that's why. But she used to give cash to an equerry who would place bets on her behalf. Am I saying that right?
Oh. I genuinely would love that job. I'd love to be someone's just betting stooge.
Well, Mike used to work in a betting shop.
Oh, yeah, true.
He's got proper creds.
I never put in any royal bets, though.
Well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know.
No, that's true. Yeah, just this guy in like a footman's outfit comes into like a betting shop in Watford. One would like a bet on royal boy.
Is Borat going to give?
What? One that would was like a posh.
No, no, one would like a bet.
One would like a bet.
Mo-o.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Bye.
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 Mike's just so tired from this week of news. That's the
In The News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In The News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.